The scripture today is based upon Luke's story of the birth of Jesus. We're going to actually focus in upon the shepherds in the fields. But for right now, just listen to it as if you'd never heard it before. And allow God to speak to you through this story. And then I'm going to introduce to you the person who will be bringing you a performance entitled The Face of God. From Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Hey, let us go down to Bethlehem and see this thing that's taken place which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known to them what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Olivia Woodford was actually here last Palm Sunday and did a performance for us. She comes back this year on the fourth Sunday of Advent to bring us another performance. But before she comes, let me introduce you to her as simply as a professional actress, gifted in so many different ways, founded a theater called the Healing Theater. She focuses in on women's characters in the Bible, women who are women, and seeing the stories of the Bible through their eyes is a wonderful gift that she has. And so this particular presentation is but a small part of a much larger performance that she does. This is a small part of that. It's titled The Face of God, and it's based upon a shepherdess. And we'll hear the story of Jesus, his birth, as through the eyes of this shepherdess. Following the service, I certainly will encourage you to meet her and talk more with her. But we welcome Olivia to the service today. Give her your attention and just pretend that you're taken back in time and you're seeing something through the eyes of this woman.
While the sheep graze, I watch the people on the road below. Bethlehem is bustling with the census. From this hill, I have a clear view of the city gates and all the parcels and bundles being opened for the tax collectors. I had no idea how rich some people are. I start wanting their cloth, their jugs, their sweetmeats. It gets me thinking about my old life when we still had our home. Everything was clean and warm. The whole family was together. I used to make the most beautifully dyed robes that we'd sell to the temple. Everybody is so animated at the gate. I'm just a shadow on the hill. Nobody sees me. Oh, look at all the things that God has given them. Everything I've had just been taken away, one thing at a time. Being taxed on everything we buy, sell, use, it's taken its toll. But it's the losses that have hollowed me out, made me distant even from myself. I lost my eldest son when he tried to fight off thieves who jumped him on the road. A daughter when the Romans came through on a drunken spree. And another son this fall. He said he couldn't live like an animal anymore. He's somewhere in these hills, an outlaw, poking whatever holes he can in the Roman legion. I just pray he's still alive. The loom went to pay for the taxes. We'd been sitting idle anyway. We hadn't been able to afford the dyes. And then there was the home. I keep saying I can't take it anymore. But then I do. I keep a small hope alive for my three remaining children. I tell them God has a reason for everything. I just can't imagine what it is. Oh. Near to us, the last of the travelers begin scurrying towards the city gates before they close. The shadows that have been coming down all afternoon will soon engulf the whole valley. Amongst the last of the travelers, there's a woman, a pregnant woman on a donkey. She's near her time of confinement. What is she even doing on this journey? Certainly her husband can register her along with the possessions. Well, then she has a contraction and she clings to the mane of the donkey and her husband, he comes to her side until it's over. And everybody's just walking by them. Nobody even seems to notice. Why is it these days that God's children are left most alone when they are most in need? Well, I hope they have a place to stay the night. I say a small prayer that her and the child survive the night. Bethlehem is normally a quiet town. Tonight, it will be full of lights and noise. If the Romans had not taken power, these people would be our rulers, our kings, to think. Tonight, they'll be full of dancing, carousing. Oh, to feel that kind of life flowing through my veins again. As it is, I feel numb. I can barely feel my fingers, they're so cold. Or smell the stench of the sheep. Or feel the damp sackcloth that's clinging to my body. Summers are easier. Days are longer. There's plenty of grass for the sheep to graze. Food falls from the trees, and we swim in holes right there out in the open, and we fall asleep sprawled looking at the stars. But ever since the weather's turned, I can't seem to get clean or warm. We avoid people. We scavenge for food with the sheep. The icy wind whips down these hills, and the whimpering of the sheep and the sheep herders' children is a constant interruption in the silence of the night. To protect the sheep from thieves, we each take turns watching them. My shift is just before dawn. So I curl up early between two sheep for warmth. And I wrap my arms around my youngest and now only daughter. And we say our prayers. Tonight we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. After Sarah falls asleep, I say another psalm of David's, one that speaks my heart. Lord, God of my salvation, day and night I cry before thee. Incline thine ear to hear my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted amongst those that would go into the pit. I am as a man that has no strength, free among the dead. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in the darkness, in the deep. Thy wrath lies hard on me, O Lord. Why casteth off my soul? Why hidest thou face from me? And then I give into a deep and desired sleep. When I wake, it's already light. How did I miss my shift? Sheep are running all over the hills, and men are running after them trying to catch them, and others are just standing still looking at the sky. There is a star as big and as bright as the moon, and it's lighting up all of Bethlehem. And there's a warm breeze in the air and a smell of fresh grass and flowers. The strangeness scares me. I look for my husband and I go to him, and right when I reach him, all the sheep all over the hills, they've all stopped and are standing still. And we all stand with them, frozen, in silence. And then there's a falling star. This falling star keeps falling towards the earth like a shaft of light, and it stops just feet from the ground in the middle of all the sheep herding families. And an angel emerges from this shaft of light. We all instinctively kneel, not understanding what is happening or why us. And a voice comes from this angel of light. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you today is born in the city of David a Savior, which is the Messiah. And this shall be a sign for you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. And the angel dissolves back into the light and rises back into the sky. And then there's a whirring sound. And all the stars start moving and falling into angels. There are angels everywhere. And they are singing. And their song, it fills my ears. And it fills my heart. And it fills a deep, deep longing. The song and the vision fade. The night sky returns to normal. The air is still balmy. And my skin, it's dry and warm. Oh, my heart feels whole and happy. Oh, I can feel myself. I don't remember the last time I felt this good. My husband and some of the other men, they've already headed down to find this manger. They haven't even stopped to wonder at all that's happening and the vision and the sky's song. Absent-mindedly, I find myself helping gather the sheep, my daughters clinging to my skirt. I look for my other children. My two sons are counting sheep and my daughter-in-law is holding her children. I'm not really sure what I should be doing. And I find I'm crying. I don't even know why. And I wonder at the message of the angel. Is the Messiah born? The one that God has promised? If so, then he will be a king. But then why is he born in a manger? And why are we invited to see him? What can we offer? There's so much activity on these hills. Everybody's moving around and talking. And then my husband comes back. His eyes are warm. Smiling, he says, "You have to see it for yourself. I will watch the sheep." Still not understanding what is happening, I find myself heading down towards the village. Sarah is still at my skirt. And once I'm inside the city gates, I keep waiting for someone to tell me that I need to leave. There's a few people in the streets. They're all walking in one direction, so I follow them. And I stop some distance from the manger. There's a holy silence. Nobody's saying anything. And I can see the donkeys, the sheep, a couple camels, a few cows. And there's people. Some are standing, some are kneeling. Some even look like they might be princes or kings. This would make sense at the birth of a new king. But they look kind of funny kneeling in front of a manger. I wish I had something different or clean to wear. I don't think I'll go any closer. I can see the mother from here, though. She's young and beautiful. Then she sees me. I freeze, waiting for her to cringe. But she motions me over. She has seen past my rags and my shame, just as the angels did. And as I get closer, I can see that she's the woman who was on the donkey. This makes no sense. There's a baby in the trough. And as I look at this baby, I am filled with the most extraordinary peacefulness. I do not know how this child can be the Messiah, or why he's born in such foul conditions, or why his mother hasn't received better care, or why I'm even here to see him. I only know it's true. Sarah has stepped away from me, and she's taken out a piece of bread that she squirreled away, and she places it with the other gifts of jugs and cloths and sweetmeats. And the mother thanks her as though she gave something of great value. And then Sarah turns back to me, and she is beaming. This marks a new day of possibility for me and my family. And as I take my scarf from my head and I place it with the other gifts, I think this child is a gift of light. A light that shows me the shadows that have crept into my own heart and thoughts for what they are. These shadows are but clouds that simply block my own brilliance, my own reflection of God. It has always been and always will be. I cannot lose it. It is a gift of God.
Many times when we hear a familiar story, but told through the eyes of a minor character, or perhaps a character that doesn't even appear in the story, but could have been there, God opens up new possibilities for us. That's the power of storytelling. New possibilities. Perhaps you could identify with the shepherdess in thinking, you know, there's a lot that has left you empty. And for whatever reason, you may have really identified with that shepherdess. You need some good news. Well, the good news is you get to see the face of God in this little baby whose light will shine upon you to dispel the shadows in your life, the gloom in your life, the despair in your life, and to allow you to show forth the light God has put in you. You see, God has ever yet more good gifts to give us and things for us to do. The one thing that I've come to believe more and more and more and more is that we get stuck in the past. We need to go back to the past to recover maybe a word we need to hear for inspiration for the future. We need to go back in the past maybe to address an issue to be forgiven for it. But once we let go of the past, we need to look forward and say, what's next, God? And that's the good news. God has something next for you and something next for me. And it is so good that I just don't want to miss it. I want to be there when it happens. And I want to encourage you to keep your eyes open to the gift of Jesus who comes to you again. And as His light shines upon you, your light will begin to shine as well. What lies ahead? Only God knows. But one thing is for sure. There are new possibilities for your life. You are not defined by your past. Rather, you're defined in who you are in Christ as a son or a daughter of the King. For our prayer today, we just simply close out by saying, you know, perhaps you would like a prayer that light may descend upon you in a day in a way in which some shadows may be removed. And Polly and I will be glad to pray with you for that. Perhaps you may need a prayer for new possibilities in your life, and we'll pray for that. But whatever your need is, we just want to let you know that this story is for you and it's for me, and it's the best story that could possibly ever be. So all of us, regardless of where we are encouraged to go into the places of the world where hope is rare, where life is hard, amongst those people in those places, and to bring this story in word and deed. Let us stand.